And thinking about Roy, I remember so well the time I visited him in Indonesia, Jakarta, and we was going from one place to another, and he said, "John, would you like to go with me?" I said, "Yes, Roy would." So he went and got his bicycle, and downtown traffic in Jakarta, and here I was on the handlebars of Roy's bicycle. That took several years off my life. And thinking of Bob Potter, when Bob first came to be with us a number of years ago, I said, "Bob, what would you like?" He said, "John, I'm a businessman, I'm an organizer, I'm a manager." I said, "Would you like to preach? Would you like to speak?" He said, "No." He said, "I'll run the show. You come up with the ideas." We've had a marvelous time together. Jerry Strader, what a clown. Duck hunting, goose hunting, sharing, witnessing. What a marvelous time. Praise God for these men. Fellas, I'd like to share with you a little bit about reproduction and some of the odd verses that Doss used to share that I thought, where in the world did he get these verses? We'll start with Genesis 1:11. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit, after his kind, whose seed is in itself." And it was so. Remember, after his kind, whose seed is in itself. And I thought, boy, oh boy, that's so true. He used to raise corn, field corn, and we wanted to raise a little popcorn. We were warned by a farmer, "Don't plant popcorn too close to your field corn because it'll cross-pollinate." And so we would plant the field corn and then a field of cotton and then over here a little bit of popcorn for fun, for eating, because it was easy for it to cross-pollinate, because it reproduces after its kind, whose seed is in itself. And that's a basic principle. Men, there's some principles in the Bible that follow all the way through, and they're always true. For instance, Jesus said, in regard to laborers looking for evangelists, the laborers are few. Well, that's the principle. And the laborers are few, the evangelists, they are few. But the laborers are few, period. Mike here runs a camp. He's been trying to hire a cook for quite some time. He hired one last week. Just a common job like a cook. My son's in construction. And I asked him, went to the job with him, and I stayed in the car, and he went out on the job, and I said, "Well, what's the problem?" He says, "We're trying to get the subs to work." I says, "Well, aren't they short of jobs?" He says, "Dad, no. You can hardly find a sub that will do work and carry through with the project. See, the laborers are few. That's a principle, period. And so watch for it all through the Bible. The laborers are few." One of the principles is seed reproduces after themselves. Another verse, Genesis 1:27, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth." Multiply. 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 Now we go out with crews from our church and we evangelize. We add. We try to get people saved and we add them to our church. Well, that's a good job. That's quite all right. They need to be added. But we're talking about the principle of multiplying, producing that will reproduce and reproduce and reproduce. We're talking about having, building, multiplying disciples. A disciple that will reach a disciple, who will train disciples, who will train another disciple. Multiplying. Over in, a little further over in Genesis 24:60, it was time for Rebekah to get married. And the family said, and they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Thousands of millions. Isn't that interesting? That's a lot of people. Yeah, multiplying. Multiplying is so fantastic. I have a giver. Jim, thanks so much for your explanation of giving. And I have a fellow been supporting me out in California. He started $20 a month, January 1978. And he gave me a raise about 20 years ago and raised $25 a month. And he has never missed a month. And Peter, I asked Peter, I said, Peter, let's go with, say, 6%. How much money is that? Peter took his calculator and he said, John, that's in the neighborhood of $78,000. That's a nice little gift. $78,000. How did he do it? $20, $20, $20, $20, $25, $25, $25, $25, $25. You know, there's a verse 21:5 in Proverbs says, steady plotting brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. When my grandchildren were born, each of them, Helen and I started putting $1,000 in a fund for their college. Drew, not here this week, and he wanted to be, he's second year down at Longview, Texas. And when he went down, he got a full scholarship, full ride. But in addition to that, he had $32,000 in his fund. And I told him, we had lunch the other day. He was up home, and I told him how proud I was of him. And I just wrote a check for his car and so on. And he said, well, Grandpa, you got a major part of this. I said, well, I know good investments when I see them, you know. So each of the children will have a little bit to get them started. Perhaps you've wondered, how did this thing get started? Well, there was a man in Southern California by the name of Doss Trotman. You've heard his name. He was a wild kid. And his mother was Pentecostal, and his father was a cowboy over in Arizona for a long time. His mother tried to get him to go to church, but he didn't go. And he was constantly in trouble. He got in trouble one time, and he told he was praying. He said, Lord, if you get me out of this trouble so I won't have to go to jail, I'll go to church. So the policeman, sure enough, gave him a good lecture and let him go. Well, he went to church a few weeks after that, and he was really surprised. He met two ladies there, Miss Mills and Miss Thomas, who were his former school teachers. And he didn't know also that his teachers prayed for the children, and they prayed for Doss. And here could come Doss to young peoples. And they had two groups in the young peoples, Red Against the Blues. And one of the things to get points for your side, they had a contest, and the loser was going to bring the hot dogs and stuff to feed the winners. And One of the things to get points was to memorize verses of Scripture. So Miss Mills and Miss Thomas had chosen 10 verses of Scripture for the children to memorize. So they gave to us the 10 verses. And the 10 verses were on the gospel, the fact of sin, the penalty of sin, the penalty must be paid, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the wages of sin is death. Basic verses on the gospel, ending with Hebrews 9:27, and as it appointed a man once to die, but after this the judgment. And then John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So Doss memorized the verses, showed up the next Sunday, and he was the only kid that memorized the verses. So he had a name for himself. Next, Miss Mills and Miss Thomas had chosen 10 other verses on growing in Christ, just in case some of the kids did memorize it. Verses like Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Or Hebrews 7:25, he ever liveth to make intercessions for us. And so Doss had these 20 verses memorized on the table of his heart. His side went, and they had the party and so on. Shortly after that, he was going to work, riding his motorcycle. He worked in the lumberyard, and he was going over these verses in his mind because he had them memorized. And he realized he was lost. And if he died without Christ, he'd go to hell. He needed to go to heaven. So he made a commitment to Christ, accepted Christ as his Savior, and went back to church, and they were really proud of him. And so they thought, well, Doss, we need to give you a job. So they gave him a job teaching 12-year-old boys in Sunday school. First Sunday he didn't, the boys just acted up, and he didn't keep order at all. That next week, this was a principle now of Doss, he prayed. He said, Lord, you made little boys. You know what makes them tick. Give me some ideas. So God began to give him ideas on how to keep order. And the boys really loved it. And they brought their mates. And pretty soon there was not enough room for them. And then they wanted to meet at night. So they began to meet at Dawson's house at night, and one of the other families at night. And then he realized that he couldn't handle it by himself. So he began to look around for young men that he could disciple and help. So he had to train the young men to help him work with the boys. And it was in this process that two ladies in the area, one had moved to San Diego, and she was visiting her friend up in La Mita, California. And she told her friend, she says, my son's just joined the Navy. And I'm so afraid for him. I wish I could get somebody to help him. And her friend says, well, I think I know the person. And so they got Doss and this young man together. His name was Les Spencer. And so They wrote each other, and they made an appointment. Doss pick up Les at the boat landing and come out for dinner. He picked up Les, and they were going out for dinner and talking about scriptures. And they wanted to look up a verse in the New Testament, so they pulled over the side of the road. And it was through a warehouse area. So while they were looking up the verse, the security guard came by and said, all right, fellas, where's the whiskey? It was 1933, Prohibition days. And they said, sir, we don't have any whiskey. We're looking up a verse in the Bible. And the policeman began to talk to them, the security guard. And he said, you know, the Bible's always been such a puzzle to me. I've often wished someone would explain it to me. And Les said, well, Doss, why don't you go ahead? And so the policeman invited them short to a nearby there. there was a better light over there on the porch. And Doss went over the gospel with the policeman. And the policeman was interested. And Doss asked him, would you like to commit your life to Jesus Christ? He said, yes, I would. So the policeman got on his knees and committed his life to Jesus Christ. And then Doss and Les got in the car and started back home, out to dinner. And it was quiet. Les told Doss, she said, Doss, it was a marvelous thing you did tonight. It was great. Doss, I'd give him a right arm if I could do what you did. Doss said, no, you wouldn't. He said, yes, I would too. He said, no, you wouldn't. He said, yes, I would. He said, no, you wouldn't. Les squared his shoulders, turned around. He said, Doss? He said, yeah. I said, I would. Doss said, that night, the Navigators was born. I met a man who was square his shoulders and looked me in the face and said, I said I would. Well, they began to get together in Bible study and memory work. Doss began to lay on Les's heart to reach a guy. And so it wasn't all that long before he reached a young man named Gurney Harris, brought him out to the house. And he got separated from Gurney in the house, in the living room, went back to the dining room kitchen to talk to Doss. He said, Doss, he said, give it to him. He said, give him what? He said, you know, help him. He said, help him what? Doss was a past master at acting stupid. And so he said, you know, Doss, help him in the Bible. Lead him to Christ. Doss said, Les, you lead him to Christ. Oh, I can't lead him to Christ. And so they went on back to the living room. He put him in the living room and he said, Les, if you can't help Gurney, I have failed. And he closed the door. See, out of that first group of fellows, five of them, they were discharged. Four of them went to the foreign mission field. They're with the Lord now. The fifth one's a teacher at Multnomah School of the Bible. All these fellows are with the Lord. Jim Downing, that early group, Jim decided to stay in the fleet and minister in the fleet during those years. By the time Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, the Navigators had 1,000 men in the fleet, another 1,000 men in the Army, Coast Guard. And then Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. When the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, there was a bunch of us that came in that were Christians, but we weren't very effective. And I was among that crowd, that group that came in, and thousands of men began help in those days. And afterwards, coming out, going into school and going to the mission field and the places of ministry. During those early days, we gave away most of our men. I remember talking to Doss, about 1951, 52. I was down in Los Angeles visiting with him. I was going to school up in San Francisco. And he said, John, we've given away all of our men. Look around. If you see some guys we could keep, I'd like to talk to them. So I began to look for fellows that we could keep. Reaching a man who can reach a man who can reach a man. Now, you've heard a lot of stories about making disciples. And you've heard disciple makers. And you've heard reaching a man who will reach a man. The question might come to you, John, just what do you do? Well, Lonnie and I are going to do a little demonstration up here of one of the things that I do. Lonnie, come on up. Maybe there's a chair there. There's a stool there. You can sit there. And Lonnie and I get together each week, most weeks. Lonnie's a physician's assistant, and his, as long as his schedule will work. And so, now, one of the things that we do is check verses. You see, you don't just meet with a guy, talk about football, or, you know, going to Aunt Hattie's for Thanksgiving dinner. You meet with a fella to, is this working also?
Yeah, it's working, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll talk into it. You meet with a fella to help him, and so he helps you. So, you got your verses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I better.
Yeah, almost floats the course. So each week, I check Lonnie on the Bible verses, a la Mr. Repass. I've checked verses on Bible verses that Lonnie's working on. Okay, Lonnie, speak. Okay.
Go ahead. Basically the will. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Galatians 2:20. Romans 12:1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Just in passing, Lonnie, what do you think that renewing of your mind entails?
Well, I think we wake up with our minds back where we started in the flesh, almost like gravity each day. And our minds need to be refocused on the Lord and resurrendered to Christ again.
By the way, there's an interesting cross-reference in Proverbs 21. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what we're trying to do here is change our thinking, get our thinking according to Scripture thinking, and we're pounding away. Go ahead, you're doing good.
The next one. It's prayer. No, it's obedience still. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. The Word. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Joshua 1:8-9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Prayer. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. John 15:7. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
How do you think that comes about, the peace of God guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus?
I think that probably as we pray and lay it before God, He gives us an assurance that He's sovereign, He's in control, and it alleviates our worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so His peace replaces that anxiety.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, next one. So prayer. Fellowship. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews 10:24-25. John 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Witnessing. Matthew 4:19. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And 17. Wherein it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith.
Wonderful. Now each week as we get together, I'll work with Lonnie on whatever program he's working on. And so he does the same with me, and there are different programs. Here is Proverb 1.
Yeah, do you want to sit on the side?
No, I'm okay.
I don't feel good looking down on you.
Yeah.
I ought to be down here by his feet. Okay.
Proverb 1:17. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Proverb 2:1-5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Isn't that interesting? They went, you remember, you read stories, I'm sure, when you were younger about treasure hunting and people gold seeking and silver mines, you know, even giving their lives for treasures, you know, losing their lives, particularly in the high Sierras. And that's what we should do in regard to the word. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall the barns be filled with plenty, and our presses shall burst out with new wine. Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth,
correction.
Oh.
Neither be weary of his correction.
Of his correction. Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not the correction of the Lord.
No, the chastising of the Lord.
The chastising of the Lord. Neither be weary when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as the father the son in whom he delighteth. Did I get it that time?
Almost. That's this one word correction. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction.
Okay. Yeah. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth.
Yes.
Even as the father the son, in whom he delighteth.
Perfect.
Proverbs 3:27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is the power of thine hand to do it. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. 4:25-26. Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. Proverbs 5:22. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You know, you could put a little three pound leader, fishing leader on my wrist, I could just break it. And do it again, I could break it. But if I got talking away and you wrapped it up, pretty soon you'd have a rope around there. I couldn't break it. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He should be holden with the cords of his sins. Mm. Proverbs 6:6-9. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, ruler, provideth her meat in this summer and gathereth the food in the harvest. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
Without a foreman or anything, they know that winter's coming. They know that winter's coming. Mm. And so they provide. Huh. Even little worms, you know.
Mm.
Proverbs 6:16-19. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And heart despises wicked imaginations. Feet to be swift and runneth to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren.
Mm.
Proverbs 6:20-23. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Mm. Proverbs 6:27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So is he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife. Whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. Proverbs 7:1-3. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart.
Amen. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When Lonnie and I started getting together some time ago, Lonnie said, John, I'd like you to help me in four things, not in the order of their importance. I'd like you, if you to help me with my verses, my family, my budget, and my weight. And so I decided, well, let's start on verses first. And as you can see, he's doing pretty good. in fact, he's doing real good. Wasn't many weeks before he quoted the topic of memory course. Now, the reason I started on verses, listen. The reason I started on verses is, when I got the budget, I had the verses to help me. See, Jim quoted a lot of scripture. See, if I was helping Lonnie with giving, I'd probably try to get a list of those verses that Jim quoted, and Lonnie and I would look them up. Now, you see, I'm going to go over this two or three times. As I go over Lonnie's verses, and Lonnie has these verses tucked away on his heart regarding budget, giving, we'll take that for an example. Then the Lord can tell Lonnie what to do out of the scripture. See, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. You see, Lonnie's an intelligent man. He knows that winter's coming. Fella, old age is coming. We buried Jerry. We buried Bob. We buried Roy. We buried Roy's wife. See, it's coming. No one doubts it. Okay, why don't you prepare for it then? You see? By the way, in Lonnie's case, it didn't take very long to help him on his budget because he had that, a lot of that squared away. I double-checked if he was living in debt, and he's not. He owes on his house, but he doesn't owe on his car, you see. Most of Americans live in debt. Most of Americans pay $1.05, $1.10 for a dollar item. I don't understand that. Why would you want to pay $1.10 for a dollar item? Why would you want to pay $13,000 for a $9,000 car? You know, I don't. I make car payments to myself every month. So when it comes time to get a car, I have the money to buy a car. You know, I don't make car payments. Pickup truck, 03. A buddy of mine in Kansas said, John, I think we'd get you a good deal up here. So I went up there and he said, and the salesman named Bill. And so I was talking with Bill, and I pulled out my checkbook. And I said, now, Bill, if we can, I kind of stuttered around, you know. Bill, if we can make a deal, I'll write you a check before we leave, you know. You think Bill's going to let me leave? Not on your life. We're going to make a deal, boy. He sees the money right there. We're going to make a deal. And so we did. I wanted a lot of goodies on the pickup. This was 03, 02. And something like $27,000 and so on. I finally wrote him a check for $23,000. You see? Because he's not going to let me leave. Paying cash. Now then, when I'm working with a man, I go over each item with him. Now, in Lonnie's case, he won't help with his home. Well, he didn't need much help. He's got three lovely daughters and a gorgeous wife. But we did go over the verses. like when we were reviewing Colossians, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And went over that with Lonnie, and he said, "Yeah, well, John, actually, that's happening there, there." See, then the next verse says, "Parents, don't be angry towards your children." See, now those were my verses, but had Lonnie had that problem, I would have asked him to memorize those verses. You see? See, I'm making disciples. I'm making disciples. Who's going to make disciples? And I get him into the Word, and I check the verses with him, and he memorizes the verses on every subject that we need to cover. And he nails them down in his heart and his life so the Holy Spirit can work in his heart and his life. It isn't just reading a good book. Fellas, that's the simplest thing I've ever run across. There's a lot of good books on a lot of good subjects. You've heard me tell the story. What, 1945. I had some time with Doss out on the lawn in Oakland, California. And he asked me, "Johnny, what you got on your heart?" I said, "Well, maybe go back to Alabama and go to school and be the Southern Baptist and so on. Go back in the ministry." He said, "Johnny, if you disciple one man, he could be a pastor and you could be something else and be two places at one time." And then I talk about youth work. And he said, "Well, John, if you disciple two men, he could be a pastor, youth work, and you'd be free." Then we talked about missionary. And then he disciple one man for pastor, one man for youth work, and I could be a missionary. And then he said, "If you never figure out just what you ought to do, you can just spend your whole life making disciples and sending them all over the world." Well, you've heard me tell the story. I've never figured out what I'm supposed to do. So, as I work with Lonnie, and then I begin to talk to Lonnie like Josh talked to Les Spencer. "Lonnie, are you praying about picking up a guy? Are you praying about you building into one other person's life?" See, just slowly, slowly, slowly. Now, in Lonnie's case, we got the verses going. I like it. We got the family going. We got the budget going. Now we come down to the weight. So I asked him. He said, "Well, I've been on a lot of diets." I said, "I'm sure you have." See, I backed off on the weight. I didn't lay the hard word, "Now get with it, Lonnie." See? Because God has to work in Lonnie's heart and life. See, I wanted to lose weight. I used to weigh 180 pounds, and I looked like I was about 3 or 4 months along, you know. But at the right time, God led me to Marine Doctor in Treasure Island. And he said, "John, you're in good health. You're You're top shape, boy. But we've got to get rid of that prosperous look. So he reached up on there and got me a diet and put it down. I went home and told my wife, I says, honey, I got to do it. Got to do it. No sailor's ever let a Marine stare him down, you know. And so I went through on that diet. And I lost 25 pounds. And I learned how to eat. And I kept that off for 40 years. And then I had a four-way heart bypass, and you don't have to worry about it. After that, it'll take care of itself. But what I want to get over now is you use the Bible, and you get the person into the Bible, and you don't make a federal case out of it, just slowly, gradually, week by week, by week, by steady plotting brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. Jim, have I covered it all, or do I need to go any further? I'm so glad we have verses in the Bible like, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. See, I can just take as long as I want, you know. Yeah. Any comments? Lonnie, any comments?
No, sir. You got it.
Come on up. Pray for us, will you, buddy?
Sure. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for how gracious you are to us, how tender you are, and the way you bring people into our lives. I just thank you, Lord, for John and for his faithfulness through these many years, for the example that he is. Thank you, Lord, for your truth that bubbles out of him. We just pray, God, that today's message would be like a hammer that reaches deep into us and maybe breaks up any hard areas. And Lord, your word, your truth by your Spirit, Lord, would transform us. Lord, we just thank you for this time together and pray that you would continue to bless this time. We thank you, Lord, for the meal that we're about to have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, man.